the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise. And mark my name, my love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free. 'Cause I'll
morning. I like change, don't you? Especially the kind that rattles in your pocket. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's a little bit different. And I am glad for that. That changed too. Okay, two of those. All right, I will do those at the end. All right. This morning, I want to talk to you about God's secret agent. Now, I am thrilled to be able to be here today to be able to share this message of God with you, because it has really warmed my heart throughout the course of the last several weeks, should I say, because this has been one that's kind of been in the hopper a little while, and I'm really thrilled about the opportunity to be able to share with you ye Lebanese people and those who have come amongst us this morning to talk about God's secret agents. But look with me at Matthew chapter 4, and as we get into the Word of God this morning, let us pray. Father, this morning we thank You for Your Word and for its tremendous power and truths and how it's able to change people, Lord, to take us from a sinful nature and God to give us salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who laid His life down for each and every one of us, who died for the entire world. And Father, we just thank You this morning, God, that we're able to come into here and into this assembly and men and women and boys and girls. And boy, just Lord, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God, may You touch our souls this morning. God, may You reveal Yourself, manifest Yourself unto us, O Lord, that maybe a fire could be rekindled in our souls, Father, that maybe this morning, O Lord, maybe we have lost sight or maybe lost the significance, O Lord, of Your fellowship and the time to come and worship You. But Lord, this morning, would You just anoint me, O Father, this body of clay, Lord, that You would just use it this morning, God, just full of the Holy Spirit. Lord, already being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed into the day of redemption. But Father, this morning, may there be a moving among the people, Lord, that we would just see and feel and taste You, O Lord, and know that You are good. Lord, may we see You this morning. Will You do that this morning, Father, based upon our best efforts, Father? We know it is filthy rags, but this morning, God, Your sovereignty and Your majestic, and Lord, You're so loving and caring and kind, and You seek our fellowship and our worship unto You. Father, I know that You are a jealous God and have every right to be for what You have done. Father, we're not just creation, but we have been created by God's hands. Father, this morning may we be humbled in the moving of Thy Spirit, and in Thy presence may we find what our soul needs, and that is the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Father, have Thine own way in the sweet and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you, my podium is not real big today, nor do I stay behind it a lot, but you might see my knees this morning, and some they still shake. I was telling people just the other day that I still have a big problem with coming up before people. I need about an hour in the bathroom on Sunday mornings just to get over my nervousness. Not because standing in front of people don't bother me anymore. I'm still looking forward to maybe one day being able to stand in front of a... I seen Billy Graham last night was standing at Carolina Stadium. You know, that was cool. In 1987 when he come on TV last night at 10 o'clock, that was awesome. I said, Lord, I'd love to go there and preach there one day. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. But the people don't bother me. The more, the merrier. Now, it used to be, boy, I don't want over three, you know. But now, you can bring 3,000, I believe, because as one preacher put it, if you're preaching to three or 3,000, it's still the same responsibility. And that's what makes you so nervous all the time, because you're handling the Word of God, and your souls are very precious to God. And Lord, help me this morning, I don't make a mistake that would confuse you or influence you negatively. So this morning, with God's help this morning, we're going to preach the Word of God. And I'm so excited. So if you would, I want to share with you a very important topic here in verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want to ask you a very important question this morning. How much thought have you ever given to angels? How many sermons have you ever heard on angels alone? Well, if both of those answers are not much or never at all, this morning I believe that your outlook will be changed. And we're certainly going to be preaching on angels this morning, which are God's secret agents. But I want to share with you that in Scripture, over 300 times is angels made reference to in the Word of God. I want to read just a few facts about angels so that maybe you and I can get more acquainted with their beings and what they are. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him were all things created, in heaven and in earth. So in the beginning, it was God the Father. God the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, before anything was created, even in heaven and in earth, it was God and God alone. Not even angels. They were created by God as we were. Also in Mark 12:25, the Bible makes reference to that neither marry nor given into marriage. Angels do not reproduce. They do not have the sexual intimacy that man and woman has after marriage to reproduce. They are created by God. They are not reproduced. They are just created by God. Not like we are. But the Bible goes on to say that they are the angels of God, making reference to, in Mark, that they, what they have is much more special than what a man or woman could have together. What makes boys and girls lie to the parents and sneak around if they can have sexual engagements with another? It is worth lying to them. It is worth sinning against God to them because of the highlight of this engagement. But the Bible says that neither do they marry or are they given into marriage, which they consummate the marriage between having sexual relations. But then, comma, the Bible says, but they are the angels of God, which could lead us to believe this morning without much speculation that even the highlights of our lives, even given unto marriage, maybe just are, is a foretaste of what we are to see in eternity. The Bible also tells us a little description of what they look like in Matthew 28:3. You remember when the stone was rolled away by the angels. It says that his countenance was like lightning and his raiment like snow. They can change their appearance. They can be invisible and visible. They can change what they come in and what form they present themselves as. Many people think of an angel of just wings and halos. Well, the wings are very clear when the Bible talks about the cherubims and the seraphims, which are angels, which I will talk about more in just a moment. Yes, they have wings. Now, the halo is something else, I think, that's just created by man. Wings are certainly an indication of angelic beings, though they can change themselves. And many times when they were presented to man, they were in the shape of a man, not indicating that they had wings. They change their appearance and their shape doing God's work. Also, they are like lightning. They can flash from one place to another. They can be standing at the throne of God and just like that be standing with you. They can change places as we will be when we are made perfect. You, right now, the Bible says that we are lower than the angels. Jesus Christ became lower than the angelic beings in order to come here, Christ incarnate in the flesh, to die for our sins. God, could you imagine one who gave the angels orders, the most powerful one in all of the universe, God Almighty, the only true and living God, belittled himself and his hierarchy in heaven in order to become less than an angel for you and I? Wow. Matthew 5:11 says that John the Revelator in the Isle of Patmos is given revelation when he talks about how there were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels. There are more angels than we probably even realize in this terrestrial world that we live in. It's much separate than the celestial world that these angels dwell in. Let's bring that together this morning in this time together. That there are hundreds of thousands of angelic beings that do not reproduce, but that are created by God Himself. The Bible also gives other indications of the number of angels in the Word of God. It says in Psalm 68:17 that the chariots, David is saying, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Matthew Henry would tell us this morning that these chariots are angels. They are formed like a chariot. Remember Elijah? Remember on Mount Carmel? When the fire came down, the chariot came down, and Elijah did not die a natural death, but God sent for him, and just like that he was taken up. Him and Enoch were the two that have not died a natural death, but God just told them, "You come with me." It represents the rapture. How they were just raptured from this earth because they had a relationship with God that binded them for eternity. The chariots that came to Mount Carmel are indicated here through study in Matthew Henry that they were actually the angelic beings of God coming after His people to carry them to heaven. And here the psalmist David in Psalm says that the chariots of God are 20,000 in this particular case. Bible says in Hebrews 12:22 that it is to an innumerable company of angels without number. Church, there could be millions of them. But we are very sure on this day that there are hundreds of thousands of angels that have been created by God for some reason. And we're going to look at why they exist and what their responsibilities are. Not for you to worship angels. They would never have you to worship them. They say, don't worship the creation, worship the Creator. The Bible also says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, revealed from heaven with His mighty angels is Jesus. Do you understand this morning that the word mighty in front of angels in the English translation is dynamite. If you please this morning that God's angels may be referred to as His sticks of dynamite. They are powerful and they can clear a place out pretty quick. I was reminded just this past week, speaking of dynamite, a brother told me something I think you need to know because you look too serious this morning. He said that a guy was fishing and he was using his dynamite to throw it out there to bring the fish to the surface. And the game warden came out and caught him for fishing with dynamite. Son, you know that's wrong. That's against the law. Well, the game warden was there in the boat with him, if I understand the story correctly. He threw him a piece of dynamite lit. He said, "What you going to do with that? You going to fish or you going to go? What you going to do?" You see, dynamite's powerful. I don't want you to lose sight this morning that God is all powerful. The angels of God do not consist of the attributes of the Godhead. God is He is omniscient, which means He's all-knowing. There is nothing He does not know. That's kind of frightening sometimes, isn't it, if we're living on the edge? But it's good to know that He knows our whereabouts and everywhere we are, even the hairs that are on the top of your head. And when you sit and when you stand, God knows. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Well, He's also omnipotent, God is, which means He is all-powerful. Which means the angels of God are not all-powerful, though they are mighty and very powerful. Beyond our imaginations, they are. But they do not have the attributes of the Godhead. They also cannot be omnipresent. These ones who stand at the throne of God and worship Him cannot be the ones that are here giving a report. They cannot be in two places at one time. The angels of God can only be in one place at one time. Very quickly can they change their positioning, but they can only be in one place at one time because there again, they do not consist of the attributes of the Godhead. They are not omnipotent. They are not omniscient. They are not omnipresent. But they are the angels of God. Now, the Bible goes on to say that they think and feel and display emotion. We've seen that. Remember the ranking of the angels? Yes, there are rank of angels. The Bible refers to archangels when it refers to Michael. Three names in the Bible that I can give you that I am familiar with for angels are Lucifer, Michael and Gabriel. Gabriel is presented four times in the Word of God, and all four times he brings mercy and promise every time he presented himself. I would like for Gabriel to come talk to me. He told Zacharias and Elizabeth that John the Baptist would be born. He would be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Gabriel is also the same angel who spoke to Mary. Fear not, Mary. He brought peace. He brought promise. He brought the mercy of God when he spoke to these people in the four encounters in the Word of God. Michael, referred to in Daniel, is the one who looks over God's people. And in the Word of God of the Old Testament is making reference to the Israelites. He is the archangel. Now, it is believed that Lucifer was also an archangel, which means they were the most powerful angels in heaven. And you know the story of Lucifer, this angel of light, wanted to have a usurp over God's throne. And because he wanted to be God and more powerful than God, there was a war in heaven. Imagine that. Now, these angelic beings, you know, you need to know before we go any further, don't crisscross the Holy Spirit of God in angelic beings. Angels are not indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We are. The angels know no sin. The angels cannot be redeemed. There are fallen angels in the Word of God, and it is Lucifer, number one, and a third of the angels of heaven followed Lucifer out of heaven because they agreed with him and wanted to have a usurp over God. So therefore, they were kicked out of heaven and hell was created, a place of judgment of God over those who crisscross God. And therefore, hell was never intentionally created for mankind to dwell. Hell was created for Lucifer, this archangel. And that is why you hear the word Michael and Lucifer. Because Michael, they believe that and studied that Michael may have been the equivalent of Lucifer. And they battled in heaven. Or maybe it was Satan that had a usurp over Michael. Because he was considered the prince of what? This earth. May very well been that God, the ruler of heaven and earth, give Lucifer the usurp over earth, that he would be the prince of this world. And that's his title, this angel of light. Make no mistake, he still has his power. He's an archangel who went wrong. It's just like believers here. Can we bring it down to our level for a moment? Take people who are very enriched with the Word of God and they commit apostasy or backslide and walk out of the will of God. They can be the most dangerous weapon against the armies of God because they have been empowered with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit can only bring to us, and they take that love, which is a great love, and it turns into the most bitter hatred you've ever seen. If you've seen a person like that, you see one minute example of the way Satan is toward God. He knows the ins and outs. He has the power. And he had the influence over a third of the angels of heaven who saw God, who worshiped God. Don't tell me he can't fool us. But the angels cannot be redeemed. They will go to hell. There is no alternative. You can't pray for Satan to be saved. You can't pray. And by the way, church, do you know that a third of hundreds of thousands of angels is a lot of angels? Just say there were 1 million angels. There's hundreds of thousands. It is innumerable. You can only speculate how many there are. There's probably at least 250,000 angels who followed Satan or Lucifer out of glory. And those now are what you call demons. They are the ones who possess people. Demons are nothing more than the angels of God created by His hand Himself. but they cannot be redeemed because Jesus Christ died for mankind and not for angels. They cannot be redeemed. The Holy Spirit of God indwells a believer and seals their soul until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when Jesus Christ stands before God the Father and says, He or she is with me because my blood was applied to their sin. Therefore, that makes them my children. Can you praise God in here? But these fallen angels, they cannot be redeemed. Hell is their destination. And don't you be fooled by 1 minute thinking they're bound in chains and they're free. Because Satan walks very freely, does he not, church? I don't know about you, but it seems as if though, whether he, because he's not omni-member now, he's not omnipresent, he can only be in one place at one time. But I just believe there's times where he sets his throne up at my back doorstep, amen? But when he's not, that 250,000 in speculation who left with him are moving. And did you know that they can appear from one place to the other still? Who visits heaven? In Job, what happens when Satan appears in heaven? He's done been kicked out. And God says, where'd you come from, Satan? He said, I've been walking up and down, to and fro, in and out of the earth. He's just seeking whom he may devour. Isn't that what 1 Peter 5:7-8 says? Or first, verse 8, verse 7 says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's very clear to understand it before verse 8 comes in 1 Peter chapter 5, because then he talks about who the seeking, the lion is. He's seeking us. He appears in glory, and God says, where'd you come from? Guess who still reports to God in glory? Lucifer. Lucifer, this archangel who was kicked out of heaven, who led the pack, still is on a leash. God's got him on a leash. He can only go so far. You read the book of Job. He limits what he can do. God will not allow him to devour you. Only you will. He has his boundaries, but coming a day, church, you know that rapture we're talking about? You miss that, and you'll see Him. You want to see Him? Live like them dogs. He's going to turn Him loose on you. And I don't care how bad of a dog you are, He's the bad dog. And you're going to have to take His mark, or else. You don't want to miss the rapture. Live right. Let's get on the first thing smoking. Amen? Amen. But the angels are supposedly ranked. I mentioned Michael as an archangel, Gabriel, an angel. But then you have the seraphims and the cherubim that the Revelator speaks about in Revelation in one place. How these angels of wings, the seraphims are indicated that they hover over the throne of God. The cherubims are indicated that they stand beside God. All indication is that seraphims and cherubims, which are ranks of angels, never leave the throne of God. Just the angels leave. Now, they are angels, but remember the identification and their responsibility. Now, they're mighty. They come. But what does this mean to all of us? What does this have to do? That sounds like a pretty good story and sounds like kind of important stuff. I'm interested in this angel. By the way, we're going to go deeper in study this on Sunday nights in the near future. I haven't nailed down a date yet, but we are, and I'll let you know. But we're going to go into a deeper study on these angels because I think it is very relevant for our living. But I want to share with you, what does this mean to you? Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation? You saved? If you're saved, these angels of God, created by God, are to minister to those who have salvation. Well, just glory. minister to me? I'm just a man. Who am I? Come on, church. Who am I that God would create an angelic being to minister to me, one who has been saved by His grace through my faith? How do they do that? Psalms 91:11 says, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep in all thy ways," every way, all thy ways, there are no exceptions. That the angels of God keep you in all of your ways. Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them," that they are delivering us. Delivering us from what, church? What do the angels do? You heard of guardian angels? If you're saved, you got one. Are there angels in this room? You better believe it. Now, does your mind allow you to escape what you're thinking about and tread there for a minute? Can you even begin to fathom the thought process that there are angels in this room? I read you all this scripture because if I were to come up here with my credentials, you wouldn't believe a word I'm saying. But friend, it don't get no clearer than this. How many times you ever been this close to death and for some reason or another you were preserved? I've told you about a couple of mine. I won't go back there again. Should be dead. But you know what God said? He said, "I'll give you a guardian angel to take care of you in all thy ways." Well, what about so-and-so? He had a guardian angel, but he died. God was ready for he or she. Where was God when your loved one died? The same place He was when Jesus, His Son, died on the cross, standing in glory. He has made the biggest sacrifice. One bigger than you and I will ever endeavor. And God says that the angels are to minister to us. Now watch this. An example of this in Daniel 6:22. Daniel said, "My God has sent His angels and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me." You can take lions and you can apply it to any particular case you're living in or have ever lived in. He has taken the jaws of those who ferociously wanted to devour you and shut the mouth of lions. Church, can you fathom that for a minute? That in a room there were a lion's den because Daniel would not cease praying. And he was put there because he followed God. And God said, could you imagine going in that lion's den? It's over for you. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been to the zoo? You've seen a lion. Come on, church. Just let that mind expand a little bit. Just go there with me a minute. It's got to be real. And you see where you put in there. And the angel, listen, it only took one. I like that. One of the hundreds of thousands of angels. They are powerful. They are mighty. And they're able to change circumstances because God Almighty is ministering unto His saints here on earth and shut the mouth of that lion so they could not harm Daniel in his faithfulness to God. I like that. You don't? You ought to get saved. I'm telling you, you ought to get saved. You get washed in the blood of the Lamb and see, don't it change your life? Boy, it might even make you say, "Amen," or something. You know, something. You got to let me know you're alive, you know. Don't even worry about getting to the place of running up and down, hanging from the speakers. We not even nowhere near that. You ever heard the silence of death? That's what I'm hearing right now. Amen. People ought to be just a little bit excited about what God's doing for us. Don't let me be the only one that believes it. charity. Endeavor with that. Endeavor. That's a good place to try. But look at this. Isaiah 61:3. Watch. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. Not morning and night, but the mourning that our dear sister is going through. That their family is going through. Those, the family of Miss Crystal Chris, the family of Brother Waddell, the family of the Allens, in losing their loved ones. Do you know what God just said? Listen, He just said it again because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is still alive. This still means something. It means that He'll give you beauty for ashes when it feels like it's burnt to the ground. He said, I can make something out of it. He said, listen, when you're mourning because you've lost and because you're hurting your soul, He said, I'll give you joy from God because you need help when you're mourning. You feel like you're all broke inside. You need some help. You've looked at so-and-so. They can't help you. Your daddy can't help you. Your mama can't help you. Your children can't help you. But I'll tell you this morning, church, God can send help in a time of need because He is a friend and a presence. I'm telling you, God is good. Now we're coming back to life. Thank God for resurrection. It's the only way I know how to preach. Give it all you got. Boy, if that God ever took the power off of my life, I mean, y'all in trouble. Because I'm nothing without God. But there is more than meets the eye here. Church, some of you I don't know well, but I can tell you right now, God has laid it to my heart to love you with all I am. I can't escape it. I've tried. I've tried to forget about you, to ease my mind. Can't do it. I've tried tactics and methods that were different than I have ever tried before. It don't work. You cannot run and run far enough away from God. I am telling you, friend, that God loved us so much that His Son took upon humanity and lowered Himself below these angelic beings who are mightier than we could ever even imagine because He said, I have got a people I've got to go save. Because of their forefather and mother, Adam and Eve, because of their sin, it has been trickled. Do you know that death is not common to God? That death was not His design, but because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it is a trickle effect that will always occur because of sin. Death is a result of sin. You have no other alternative. You have to die the physical death. But can I tell you something, church, that the angels minister in all things, even death. Who carried Lazarus the beggar in Luke 16 and in verse 22? It said when the beggar died that the angels carried him to the bosom of Abraham. But who also claims life? Think about this for a minute. Only God can take life. Did He not limit Lucifer over Job? Take all he's got. He said, well, he serves you for naught. He said, take all of his health. But you cannot take his life. Don't you like it when God limits not only us, but He limits the evil things of this world? Now this death that we all will face, there's a death angel. Who come through the camp that night in Egypt when Pharaoh would not turn the Israelites loose? The death angel. Because of the blood that was applied to the post, the lintels there on the door, only because of the blood of that lamb without blemish, only reason that death angel went past that door was because the blood of the lamb was applied to that door. Anyone and everyone was subject to lose their firstborn on that night because the death angel comes. You ever been in a room when somebody died? I have. Guess what? You've been in the room with the death angel. You are just a matter of inches away from death itself. And little do you realize, there's probably been times when you rode your car or your truck, or you've been in a particular case where you had no other reason to live, the death angel was standing at your threshold and did not visit you because the blood of the Lamb or the one who's responsible said, not yet. But have you ever seen the death angel come? I wish you can't find it in here how he comes in threes, but it comes in threes, does it not? The funeral home will tell you right now, when it's dry, it's dry, but when it's season, it's season. They tell their people the first reported death they have, what happens? He says, be ready, kiss your family goodbye, because we're going to get busy for a season. But when there's no one dying, there's no one dying, because God has complete, absolute power over death. This death angel comes, but in the company of the death angel, there are angels who actually carry the saints of God to Jesus. We are not just ministered to in all areas of our lives, but the very angelic being who is with you even today escorts you to the presence of God's Son. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, ye who believe and have received Him. But it's amazing to me when you look into verse 17, how the sinful man, it just says, in hell he lifted his eyes. Speculation would lead us to believe that those who go to hell are also ushered by angels, but those who have fallen. Everybody who perishes in this life is a good person. After preaching many funerals and will preach many to come, how often will preachers or ministers lie about those who are deceased? Because everybody ain't going to heaven. Everybody ain't as good as they say they are. And who am I as a minister of the Word to stand over someone who were an evil worker and try to declare that they were good? Who am I to comfort a family who wants to hear those resting words, he or she is in heaven, when the very fact is that most people who die never go? They'll go one day, but for judgment. They'll go to heaven. I still don't believe they'll go in. I don't understand it all, but they won't go into the realm of glory. But they'll go before the judgment seat of Christ. That's as close. They'll get to the threshold, but they won't be allowed to enter in. So if broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way to life, and few will be there at the gate, Jesus said Himself, then most funerals you'll see when you pass by Stuart Dowling or Morris in Hemingway or Brown in Pennington and Hartsville or over there at Keynes on Pampico Highway, most times you see a hearse. Statistically, more of those people were drugged to hell by the falling angels. And that's a fact, Jack. And a small percentage of those people, when you see those long black cars, are only escorted by the angels of God to the very presence of the one who created them and died for you and I. That's real stuff. Not to scare you, but to aware you. In the Hebrews 9:27, you and I have got an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man wants to die. As well as God has appointed an angel to help you, He's also appointed an angel to take you. And death is never when you expect it. It's always just right around the curve. Death is always in the next room. How many times did death visit your neighborhood? When you see these people dying in your community, death was at their door and did not stop at yours. Why? Why? Who are you to still be alive versus them? Why? Because God said He's not done with you yet. That's why. And if you leave God and prove Him wrong, then why shouldn't the death angel visit you next time around? If you're going to stay in the condition you're in, why not? God's not a wasteful God. He's a very good steward. If people are not going to ever respond, then why should they even occupy space? Because truth be known, those who rebel against God not only impact themselves, but they impact others. So if you're not going to be a positive influence, the best thing God could do is go ahead and send a death angel to your house now so you won't keep influencing those who still have a chance. It's very complex. Life is not as simple as you and I would like for it to be or make out for it to be. But now, the angels are fulfilling their responsibility to you, you and I, ministering to us, those who have salvation. A guardian angel encampeth around us. God has promised us that. Not only in death, but in life. But did you know that we will judge the angels? What Paul said, know ye not that you will judge the angels? Wow. Watch this. He also went on to say that when we die and our bodies, which are now terrestrial bodies, which are blemished, will one day in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, in the rapture will be changed. Just like that, you're made perfect. Just like that, you are given a celestial body instead of this terrestrial body that you live in. Now, that will happen in the twinkling of an eye, whether it's rapture or death, because you and I cannot stand in the presence of God without being changed to a celestial body. He said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Just that quick. When you take that last breath and give another, you are made perfect. Because if you were not made perfect, you could not stand in the presence of God. Changed. Watch this. And Paul goes on to say that we're going to judge the angels. The Bible even makes refers that we are going to be equal with the angels. To be equal with the angels and even to go on to judge the angels gives us a great deal of power. There are incentives for going to glory. You're not just going to sit in a ball and worship God for every speck of eternity. Though that is the primary reason. I am telling you, church, there is more than meets the eye and more that I could even try to speak on this morning because I am not enlightened and therefore don't have the time to do it today. But I am telling you, my dear friend, this is very rich. And what we will become is the basis of what we are doing today. For a minute, you are given the perfect body to be able to flash from one place to the next, to be considered equal with these angelic beings because you were once imperfect. You know why angels can't preach the gospel? Because they don't know what it feels like to be redeemed. They can't be redeemed. Angels want my job this morning, but all they can do by the limitations of God is minister to me while I minister to you. And they're waiting and hanging and hovering in the balance of this place, wondering when, how, if, and God, who is so rich in infinite wisdom and perfection, says, I can only reveal so much to you at a time, but take what I've given you and run with it. And don't stay idle saying, I need to know this before I go any further. They cannot preach the Word of God. Now, just for a minute, and I'm just about done. I got another 45 seconds before my time expires. But can I tell you this morning And if I'm the only one that believes this or likes this, then so be it. But in the arrangement of glory itself, heaven, you have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who are one, as one. You then have an accumulation of the archangel, angels, the seraphims, and the cherubims of the ranking of angels. And then Jesus Christ took on humanity, which became a man just like you and I. All God, all man. But it says that He was just a little bit lower than the angels of God. I am considered and classified by God the Father in the hierarchy of heaven, that I, being a man, flesh and bone, are considered to be just a little bit less than the angels of heaven. And the angels, in all of their mighty power, cannot preach and evangelize the gospel. But I can, and you can, we all can. And they are to the point of envious over us because we get to tell people about Jesus and all they can do is minister, announce when He's coming. Far as they can take it is to announce, Mary, you are with child. Jesus is coming. That's why so many people feel like Gabriel will be the one who sounds the trumpet because he's announcing God's coming. He announces that John the Baptist is coming, Zacharias, the forerunner for Christ. They can only announce it on Mount Sinai. The mountains that were close by, Paran, those mountains that were close by, the Bible says they glowed because God stood on mountains just near it, over at Mount Sinai, was accompanied by angels, and the mountains glowed as even Moses' face did because of the wonderful countenance of God and His mighty angels who stood upon that mountain and gave the law to Moses to give to the Israelites because they knew no law. We serve a God. But I should just fall on my knees right now on my face and say, God help me. Who am I? And people sit where you are and you're yawning and you got your heads down and you're, you know. And all I am, look, there's nothing to me. Listen, watch this. Look, when I take this towel and that coat that's supposed to make me a preacher, and I'm nothing but a man. Human flesh and bone. I'm a sinner. I'm nothing. I don't deserve heaven. And all I do is sin against God and break His heart. And He sends angels from glory, the very people who administer to me, worship God. They worship God and they come minister to me in heaven, here on earth. How can it be? I can't get over that. What is going on? I don't understand. And there's nothing in this book that will tell you, no theologian, no commentary, that will tell you why He loves us so much and why He gave everything for you and I. We are more important than we believe we are. Because He loved us. Not because of our skills, not because of our capabilities, but God loves us and He sees something in us that we have yet to see. But when will we see it?
How will we see it? If an angel come to us in person, we would die of a heart attack. And you wouldn't be able to live it after that. And God knows that. But I'm serious this morning. What is it? Is my soul that precious to Him? Is your soul that precious to Him? So what will we do about it?
We get to tell people about Jesus. And the very thing that they cannot do, we don't eat. And why not? This is Jesus we're talking about. The one who was drugged and beat. And His beard was ripped out. His flesh was ripped from His body. You listen to me, don't you bow, don't you drop your head. At least you can have enough respect or reverence for God's Son. You might not be living for Him, but you need to listen to this. He placed Himself on this earth lower than angels. For every one of you, you're on His mind. And the only reason He could stand to His feet when they had beaten Him beyond visage is because He said, I've got to do my Father's will. And I've got a multitude of people who are dependent upon me. And He went to the cross. And as they nailed His hands to that wood, and they nailed His feet, and that crown of thorns that pierced His brow, and could have called upon these angels, these secret agents of God, I got to finish. And my Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why He turned His back on His Son? Because of me. God turned Himself to His Son. And He cried out into glory. For the first time, the Godhead, they were never separated. But for the one and only time in history, three persons, one had to turn their back on the other. Because He sees something inside of me that I am obviously unaware of. And when He said it was finished, He meant that we could begin. And God has begun a work in you, Christian. And I believe we ought to finish it. And if you're here this morning and you know you're not living for God, He has hundreds of thousands of ministers. He is willing to put at your side and accompany you and minister you to every step and every breath you will ever take. And you know what I believe? I'm looking forward to death. Because then and only then will I cross the chilly waters of Jordan and walk into kingdom. I'm going to share something with you now as we close. Billy Graham wrote that in Luke 15:10, the angels hosts are numbered among the spectators in the heavenly grandstand. They are included among those who refer to as so great a cloud of witnesses. You know who that cloud of witnesses is? It's the angels of God. Hebrews 12:1, and they never miss any detail of your earthly pilgrimage. Yet they do not jeer as did the Greek crowds of Paul's day, but rather as we declare the gospel and see our friends saved, they rejoice with us. In his book, Though I Walk Through the Valley, Vance Havner tells an old preacher who worked into the night on a sermon for his small congregation. I'm going to say this before you, but I say this for the camera and for the CDs and the DVDs that may soon be published and follow long after my ministry, if God tarries. Listen to this. He worked into the night on a sermon for his small congregation. And his wife inquired why he spent so much time on a message that he would give to so few. And to this, the minister replied, he said, "You forgot, my dear, how large my audience will be." Dr. Havner goes on to add, he says, "Nothing is trivial here if heaven looks on." We shall play a better game if, seeing we are encompassed, we remember who is in the grandstand. Our valleys may be filled with foes and tears, but we can lift our eyes to the hills and thank God. And the angels, heaven spectators, who support us according to God's infinite wisdom as they prepare our welcome home. Will you stand with me? Every head bowed, eyes are closed. Our time here has expired, but I will tell you this, yours has not. God has spoken to many hearts this morning, but I know that He's spoken to yours. And this morning, as we pray in silence, and the grandstand in heaven is filled with angels above, to witness what we will do. To be able to actually rejoice with a sinner who has come home. God hears the chant